And good morning, sinners. Thank you, Andrew, for reading the Word of God. Andrew is one of our seniors. Can you believe he is a senior getting ready to graduate? His mother and father probably believe that same thing. Oh, who we are and why we do what we do. Two Sundays ago, we addressed the subject of worship, and we looked at Isaiah chapter 6, and we discovered that in worship, the goal is to encounter a holy God in such a way that even the sanctuary ceiling departs, and it's as if we have gone into the heaven of heavens. That's what worship is about, encountering God. We also discovered last week that we come together to grow together in small groups, and we talked about the centrality of small groups. Today we talk about we go. We go in ministry and we go in mission. Already you have heard about the challenge issued to us about Belize, to go on a mission trip or to contribute financially $10 a month for 3 years. $10. Basically, two Happy Meals and McDonald's. Give up. In order that together we might contribute $12,000 a year. And missions does not stop there, because you have discovered in your bulletin that during this month we are emphasizing the Janie Chapman mission offering, whereas we as Baptists are trying to reach this state for Jesus Christ, and you have seen our goal of $2,000. Now, why is ministry and missions important? Look at this quote by C.S. Lewis. Here is what he says. Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. That rattled me. I have wondered how acculturated I have made this gospel. I have wondered how much I compromise or read this gospel in such a way that it fits me instead of the gospel transforming me. How about you? Now, when we talk about ministry and mission, there is a tendency that we have that reminds me of one of my favorite shows when I was a little boy. See if you remember this. How many of you remember that? Okay, you remember that. The Lone Ranger, 1949 to 1957, over 200 episodes. It's been called an enduring icon of the American culture. Now, the Lone Ranger had who as his sidekick? Tonto. What did Tonto call the Lone Ranger? Kemosabe. I see you did watch that, didn't you? I mean, you did watch that. Now, we know the storyline, that it originated because there were these group of Texas Rangers. They were all killed except one. That's why he's called the Lone Ranger. But what American culture has done to this show is said, I'm my own man. I can do it my way. I can ride alone, but we forget that even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. But there is another image about how we are to do life together, and you'll see it on the screen. It is called the Body of Christ. Look at the amount of scriptures
that underlined and underscored the reality
that we are the body of Christ. Now, I want to tease some of this out for you because this is very important. We cannot reach this world. We cannot be the church that we need to be unless we understand this image given to us in 1 Corinthians 12 of being the body of Christ. Now, it goes this way. Christ is the head of the body. We are the body. He is the head. Real life in this body is organic. It is not institutional. We have turned the church into an institution. No, it is a real, live, breathing, organic body. Also, real life in the body is based upon being interdependent, not independent. We sometimes think if I do my part or if I don't do my part, so what? Every part of the body affects another a part of the body. So, the issue in church life is church health. The issue in church life is church health. You have a strong body, you have a strong impact. If you have a weak body, you have a weak impact. Now, what are the takeaways from this? Each believer has a major part to play within the body of Christ. Let me repeat that. Each believer has a major part to play within the body of Christ. We call that ministry. Now, a strong body, that is the church, impacts the world. We call that missions. So you see, for the body to be strong, each part has to do its part. And when each part is doing its part, we have a strong body that can go out and change the world. So, let me focus on you and me right now. If you are a part of the body, and I am a part of the body, how do we do our part? Number one, each believer has been given a spiritual gift. That is a gift from God that will affect the body, that is the church, and when the church is strong, will go out and affect the world. Each of us has at least one spiritual gift. No person has every spiritual gift. We saw in the reading today what some of those gifts are. Now, the second thing is this. God has given each of us a passion. A passion is what I call your emotional heartbeat. It generates enthusiasm. It facilitates impact. There's some things that I don't get as excited about. There are some things that you don't get as excited about. But when we come together, and this is body life, we're going to be excited about all that God wants us to be excited about because the body will work together. So what is your emotional heartbeat within the kingdom of God? Thirdly, God has given each of us natural talents. There are tens of natural talents listed in the Word of God. These are things that we have a proclivity for, a tendency. I am not a builder. I don't understand construction, but many of you have that natural talent. It's like drinking water to you. We need to use our natural talent. The fourth thing is this. God has given each of us a personality. Some people are introverts. Some people are extroverts. You know the Myers-Briggs test, the Kiersey temperament test, and a host of other tests reveal who we are. God wants us to act within that personality. And then lastly, God gives us experiences. We've had personal experiences. We've had family experiences. We've had work experiences. We've had athletic experiences. We've had dramatic experiences. And we've had hardships. And what I've discovered is that many times God chooses the hard experiences for our greatest advantage. So do you see, you may say, I'm the arm. I'm the leg. Whatever part you are to take your spiritual gifts, your passions, your natural talents, your personality, and your experiences, and to use all of that to strengthen the body, to serve the body. That's ministry. And then to go outside of the church, outside of the body of Christ, that's called missions, and to make an impact for Jesus Christ. You see, if we don't go all in, if you and I don't use our gifts, the church loses. The body of Christ is weak. It's that simple. But if each of us goes all in, the church wins. If the church wins, the world wins. It's that simple. There's a beautiful cathedral. You'll see it on the screen. It's Our Lady of Amiens Cathedral in France. It's the tallest completed cathedral in France. A German poet by the name of Heinrich Heine in the 18th century was asked by his friend Alphonse, as they stood facing that grand cathedral, he said, "How is it that we can no longer build cathedrals like this? Generations ago, they could do this. How come they could no longer build cathedrals like this?" Listen and look at what he said. Heine responded this way, "Dear Alphonse, men in those days had convictions. We moderns have opinions. And it requires something more than an opinion to build such a Gothic cathedral. Everybody today has an opinion. And many times those opinions keep us from devoting ourselves wholeheartedly to the body of Christ so we can impact the world with Christ." This past week, as I was visiting some of our shut-ins, I went into the home of Ben and Betty Kreitzberg. Knowing that football season was on the horizon, our conversation turned to Clemson University and Clemson football. Now, I might add that Ben Kreitzberg and Barry Sudduff are two bibliophiles on that sport and that university. And Ben told me about a legend at Clemson University, Coach Frank Howard. Specifically about what he said about Howard's Rock. You know this quote. He told this to his team. "If you're going to give me 110%, you can rub that rock. If you're not, keep your filthy hands off of it." I sat yesterday at Clemson University in a game that no one doubted the outcome. No one. 93-degree weather, an almost packed stadium, a giveaway game, and I'm a Furman fan. I'm not slighting Furman. That's out of our league. And yet it was packed. Because a coach, decades ago, said, "If you're going to play on this field, you give 110% or you get out of this game." And I wondered, how many times my kindness and our kindness called grace has given people the idea that it's okay to be half-hearted about Jesus. It's half-hearted to be, you know, kind of a Christian, to give what we can, to do what we can, to, you know, least common denominator. And if a game with a rubber bladder and a leather skin is worth giving 110% to, How much is something that is eternal? I've been quite burdened about the state of churches in America, including our church. And I talked with a representative from the Baptist Convention of North Carolina. I said, tell me about your churches. She said, there are 4,380 Baptist churches in North Carolina. She said, do you want to know how many of them are under 100 in attendance? I said, tell me. What do you think? 80% of the 4,380 churches average under 100 on Sunday morning. So I called our state convention, South Carolina Baptist Convention. We have 2,100 churches. I don't know how many of them are under 100 in attendance. They could not give me that readily. But they did tell me this, and it's so germane, that of the 2,100 churches, only 300 of them have a full-time minister of students. In the North Carolina Convention, where there's 4,380 churches, only 400 of them have a full-time minister of students. And what I fathom is that the number is far less for a minister of childhood education or a minister of children and families. In fact, one of our major seminaries cut out the children's program because the president didn't see it as worthwhile. I talked to one leader in the Baptist Convention. Her name is Mary Johnson, the daughter of Dr. Ray and Marilyn Allen. She is over the youth section of the Baptist Convention and may be one of Baptist's most brilliant leaders in youth ministry. She said this, listen, 70% of our youth do not know whether their mother and father have a daily devotional, a time in the Word of God. 70% of our youth in the church. Moreover, she said, there are few prayers offered together as a family. Most of the prayers take place at mealtime, but there's fewer of those because families today do not share meals together anymore. Is there any wonder there's such anemia spiritually in the body of Christ today? So goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the world. I'm asking today, as we confront September, October, November, and December, when stadiums will be filled, getaways will be making great money, and everybody needs to get away. But are we all in for Jesus? Are we all in? And one way you answer that is, do you have a ministry within this church? Are you strengthening the body of this church? Because without a strong body, we're going to have weak missions. And do you have a mission to the world? Something that grips you, that unless you go share it, you honestly believe that someone may go to hell instead of heaven because you will not share. I'm asking for a time of repentance and confession and recommitment. Will you join me at the altar? That's all I ask. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 732. As God so leads you, will you respond?